Say like you are blessed this morning. The Lord is good.
All the time.
If you believe that, can you give me an amen?
Amen.
All right, let's take our declaration of understanding. We are going to study the word of God as usual. All right, one, two, let's go now.
I declare
that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, the Lord is good. Please take your seats. The book of John chapter 6. Now, Jesus was here speaking to the people who came looking for him. They were looking for him after he had multiplied food for them and he had gone away. And then he told them that they were not looking for him for any other thing apart from the fact that they ate food free of charge in verse 26. He said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." He now said to them, verse 27, "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him the Father God has set his seal." Therefore they said to him, "What shall we do so that we may work the works of God?" And he answered, he said, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." You believe in him whom he has sent. Now, please bear this in mind. Then he went ahead and was teaching them. In verse 41, he says, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." And they were wondering in verse 42, "Is this not Jesus whom we all know? How can he now be saying, 'I have come down out of heaven'?" Now, he continued to speak. He now said, you're going somewhere. In 51, he says, "I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I give for the life of the world is my flesh." So the people continue to argue with each other. What's all of this? How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then he went ahead and worsened the situation in verse 53. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood." Now, eating the flesh was bad enough. Now, you see, he's saying we have to drink his blood. He said, "You have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me," my God, "he will live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven. Not as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread will live forever." The Bible says, "These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of the disciples, when they heard this, said, 'This is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it?' But Jesus, conscious that his disciples grumbled at this, said to them, 'Does this cause you to stumble? What then if you see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? So it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life.'" Now, you know what happened? As a result, verse 66, many of the disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. There were few that remaining. Prominent amongst them were the 12. So Jesus said to the 12, "You do not want to go away also, do you?" And Simon answered him. That's why I read all of this. "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life. We have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." I will stop reading in verse 69. He said, we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. What's the question? To whom shall we go? He said, you have words of eternal life. Or some versions will say, the words of eternal life. Now, let me say something quickly before I start the main teaching. That eternal life, when you find it, you will know you found it. If you don't have it, we've been talking about, was it yesterday we're talking about satisfaction in the online Bible study? Yes. If you don't have it, you will keep looking for it. That's what will cause satisfaction a lot of times when people are striving for things. If you have eternal life manifested in you, do you get? You will sleep in a room that doesn't have an air conditioner. It's a small bed. You soaked Gary that night before you went to lie down to sleep. And you'll be so satisfied, you'll be happy. I don't know whether I get my point. Yes. You will have the kind of joy that will make people wonder whether you're normal, whether you're confused, whether you have gone mental. Because they will not be able to tie your physical situation with your response. Do you get my point? Yeah, they can see your physical situation, but they can't tie it with your demeanor, your response, the way you speak, the way you carry yourself. Do you know? The state of somebody's soul, you know, it can be seen on the person's face. You know that? Yeah, it can be. The Bible says they looked to him and they were lightened or radiant, depending on the version you use. And their faces were no longer ashamed. That is, you can see a face and you will know that this face, it gets shame for heart. You see a face, okay? You know this fellow? I mean, you can see it on the road. A man is walking on the road and you know, say, so to speak, he not get a problem. Then when they tell you the physical problems, you can't believe it. Like, no, now, Abba. These things are happening around in you and this aura is coming out of you and radiating on your face. It's not possible. Paul called it the peace of God that passes all understanding. That's what he called it. The peace of God that passes all understanding. Let me say this again, please. Do you know that is what people are looking for? And they don't know. See, there are people that... Hi. Okay, you know, this Japa thing in Nigeria right now, you understand that? For those who don't, if you are listening to us and you are European, Japa simply means to emigrate out of Nigeria. That's what we mean, okay? And because some people are listening to us and they can't speak Nigerian English, okay? Now, I'm not addressing... I keep saying this, please. People have given me names, all right? You can leave a place and go to another place. I wasn't born in Enugu. I hope you're aware of that. Na Japa, Japa rich here. Ajapa from Ondo State to what is now Edo State. When I went, it was Bendel State. Okay, along the line, became Edo State. Na Japa, Japa go Edo. Then one day, Ajapa go Taraba State. Then one day, Ajapa go Lagos. Then one day, now Japa, I reach, take reach Enugu now. From Lagos, I got to Enugu. So moving around is okay. I could have, seriously. It's very possible. People don't realize that. God could have said, when I was living in Lagos, God could have said, look, you're going to Ghana. And I knew one of my guys, he went to Ghana. When I saw him there, oh, but what's going on? Well, he's a pastor in one of our big churches. So he moved and began to pastor, but he's also a specialist. So he moved, registered with the Ghanaian Medical Council and began to practice over there so he could pastor a church. So he told me that, no, it's pastoring he came here to do. I would have loved. Now, I'm not complaining about Enugu. I love Enugu. Is that okay? I love Enugu. I do. See, seriously. I mean, have you ever heard me complain about this? No, I've lived there for 20-something years. Okay? But I would have loved if the Lord told me to go to East Africa. Or another West African country. Not because, of course, they are not more prosperous than Nigeria, so it's not prosperity. I just personally love teaching people
who I feel need to hear the word. Yeah, that's my own. I have a personal love for teaching Africans, especially because one of the things we have done in Nigeria to some of these our brothers and sisters in the rest of Africa is to teach them bad things. Yeah, we've done that a lot. Maybe because that's what's prominent. But one day I saw one, it was a blog. Many years ago, I read this blog. It was more than 15 years. This guy was, I think he's a Methodist or Baptist preacher, all right, pastor, from one of these East African countries. And he was upbraiding his countrymen in their behavior, their bad behavior. You know what he said? You know the way we copy Americans? So they'll be copying Nigerian pastors. Yeah, because we brought a lot of, you know, funny behaviors which we learned from some places and took it to those places. Can you imagine? One of their heroes from Nigeria was that fake prophet in Lagos. And you couldn't tell them this guy was fake. One day I was watching TV and one man was, I saw him, I told my wife, come and see you. Somewhere in East Africa. He was saying, you have to be humble. He didn't know that man talks like that because he can't speak English. You see, the Holy Ghost, he spoke, some of you don't know, that guy used to speak like that because English was a strange language to him. He wasn't educated. He had to polish himself very well for that, for the shows he used to do on TV. So he spoke slowly, not because he's a slow talker. If he was speaking in Yoruba language, he was fluent, he was talking fast, he was not slow. But when he had to speak English, he had to slow down because he didn't know the language well. And he had memorized a lot of books. Some of them we knew. You go and buy, take a book like Ken Hagin's book, Ken Copeland's books, and cram them. Very intelligent guy. No, give that one to him. He was very, very brilliant. Except that you don't have to speak English to be brilliant. So he didn't speak English when he was brilliancing. You get what I'm saying? When he was growing up, he didn't. So that's how he used to speak. So for those who know, that was not his accent. That was not his way of talking. It was a problem with speaking the English language. Now, I'm talking about it. One guy in East Africa wanted to copy. You have to be humble. Because my wife and I were laughing that day. Because we knew who was copying. I said, hey. That was the amount of God that we gave to them. It was very painful for me. Some of the things I would have loved to do. Say, hey, guys. We have Dami in Nigeria. Let's give you Dami. He will teach you the word of God. For following fake prophets that we exported. Okay? Where I'm going is that. So this jackpot thing, I don't have a problem with it. I will have personally. Yeah. In fact, if you hear that Pastor Banky is hardly around now, just go and check. I've gone to East Africa. I've gone to West Africa. I have. Or Southern America. Or Asia. So let's get back to the issue about this jackpot thing. So that's what I would have loved to do. But that's how I jackpot down to Enugu, all right? Specifically because I had to do what we are doing here this morning. Okay? But sometimes people do some things, you wonder. That's what I'm going to with all of this. Someone say, the way this country is going, then the person manages and raises 150 million naira. And he's not owing anybody. I know what that means thinking. If you give me 150 million, Peter and Bar will know I'm in Enugu. I will start a teaching crusade on the streets to the government house. They will know I'm here. That's what they are thinking. Like Pastor Chris used to say to us those days, he said, if I see this kind of money, Bafra will come and beg me. Bafra was the governor. So he said, I will terrorize everybody with the gospel. Now, so you wonder. And you say, excuse me, sir, you can raise this amount of money. You can raise this amount of money. Then you're not poor.
Question. So what is the person looking for? I will tell you, let's not deceive ourselves. It's simple. It's that thing that comes out of eternal life. That's it. See, $1 billion can't give it to you. $1 billion cannot give it to you. One of the richest men in the world, okay, that time, essentially died. It was abnormal. He was one of the richest men. In fact, at the point in time, I think he made it to be the richest man in the world. I don't know how long, of course, this is, they change year to year from year, all right, year to year. So, I don't know how long he stayed on top, but he was that rich. Let me just not mention the name now. But at the end of the day, do you know what? The reputation around was that the man was not normal. Yes, one of them, forgotten, I know the name of that, I just want to mention it because I can't give all the details. There's another one, very wealthy guy. He washed his hand all the time. He was obsessive. He had an obsessive compulsive disorder, afraid of germs. So he lived alone from people, shielded away from people because of germs. This other man shielded himself away from people because if everybody was after him, he was paranoid. They're looking for his money. See, let's be honest with ourselves. Now, first, before I say that, people don't believe this when you tell them that this thing you are looking for is not where you are looking for it. This thing you are looking for, it is not in that place where you are looking for it. It is not in that place where you are looking for it. Let me say it again and again. See, if you ever have dissatisfaction in your life about anything, go and pray. If it's about your job, go and pray. If it's about your family, go and pray. About your wife. See, these days, the other time, they told me, you know, I was telling you yesterday, there's one man of God, they said he got a divorce. Old man, you know, you're 72. You're a preacher. Your wife is probably 68, 70, and she's filing for divorce. Like, you know, like, just manage now. Don't spoil things for us. Even if it's just to, okay. Now, how many years? 49 or 50 years of marriage. You don't get the point. Married for 49 years. Even if there's a problem, should be you will just say, okay, oh boy, go and stay in that place. Don't talk to me again. What are you filing for divorce for? You know, I told you something, okay? Now, please, I mean no disrespect. I want to just explain something to people, all right? You know, I told you yesterday. I said, it's a mental problem. She's really not feeling well. That's my, after checking everything, my conclusion. I felt sorry for the husband. She was one that went and said, I'm not marrying again, I'm filing for divorce. Of course, the lawyers have to do what she's asking. She will pay them to do their work. When I saw the whole thing, I said, this woman is not feeling well. You see, a lot of family problems, you ministers, me here, a lot of family problems is mental illness. But people don't know. Somebody is depressed and is complaining about the husband or about the wife. The person is depressed. Now, if you have ever had a bout of depression or encounter somebody that has depression, see, depression is not, it's a spirit, first of all right? But it colors how you see things. And to you, it's real. It is real. Everything your wife, your husband is doing is annoying you. Why did you keep that cup there? But sweetheart, I've always kept this cup here. Yeah, but it's nearly 2 inches from the edge. Why is it today? It's 1 inch. Every single thing. You just be unhappy. You come to your house, you start seeing cobwebs on the wall. And start shouting and getting angry. You're depressed. And you don't know. You have money, so you don't. You think depression is for poor people. That is those who are broke. You think depression comes for no reason. It's a cloud. It's a spirit. It just drops on your head. Pump, if you're not careful. I said, no, my wife, please, don't touch me. I really don't want anybody to touch me right now. Why? What's wrong with it? Are you withdrawing from heroin? And you know those who take heroin or fentanyl, stuff like that, when they've not taken their shot, eh? If you touch them, it feels like 10 stabs of a sharp knife. You're not taking drugs. Yeah, somebody wants to hug you. This woman, you don't give belay 3 times. It's not stranger now. You know what? Spirit of depression. See, spirit of depression comes to people for different reasons. Some, a man loses his job. Eh? And then he allows his spirit in. He doesn't... See, let me tell you how you fight depression spirit. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, in this case, literally is boxing gloves. Is warfare, you know, is weapon. You know, you'll be dancing the kind of dance. If somebody saw you, they will know that literally, and they are right, you're out of your mind. There's no musical. Father, thank you, Father. You're dancing. You know, people don't know. You're fighting. You stay there, you go, take a psalm or two or three, you read it for 1 straight hour. You thank God for all your trouble. You know what they're doing? Hey, I pray I can understand. See, go and read that book again. Someone is controlling you. This life, you're being controlled by spirit. So you are deciding which one will control, which one will not control. That's all you are doing. You are fighting. It's not willpower. A lot of marriage problems, it's mental illness. But people don't know. And when you don't know, you're always setting quarrel. You say, don't talk like that. You say, talk like this. You say, leave all that talk. Leave that. You see, when you don't know, you'll be solving problems that don't exist. Why did you say that? Eh? Why did you not say it? You should not have said it. Those ladies used to take couples, you should communicate. You know now. Communicate, too. I'm not saying you should communicate. Look, those are one of my friends. I used to yap her. They are a couple. So you just talk and you communicate. As I call her Nokia communicator. Do you know those? That was a high-end food. I said Nokia communicator. And then communication is, what is communication? You know, communication. Yeah, see, let's not start teaching on marriage now. Marriage is a if God doesn't anoint you, don't talk on marriage. Don't pray. Don't counsel people. That is spiritual. It's very, very spiritual. You can't use common sense to solve spiritual problems. I know what I'm saying. Hey God, if you work for a depressed person, there are bosses that are not mentally okay. You know what they call bipolar disease? There are those that have bipolar disease. It's a real mental illness. You can treat it with medicine. Okay? But there are those that have bipolar personality. Now, there's one problem about personality disorders. You can't treat it with medicine. It's not mental illness. Okay, mental illness comes in different categories, all right? No, in fact, there's the boundary between mental illness and abnormal behavior for a normal person. You don't even know where to draw it. One brother called me one day. He said, I talked to this guy. He said, is he okay? I said, I don't think so. But you see him next day, you think he's okay. I don't know whether I get my point. So the boundary is very, it can be difficult. Now, I don't know about now, but this when I used to study, when I was still, you know, those were in school. Everybody has a personality, okay? In the personality now, you have personality type. You know, some people are very clean. If you come to their house, everything is well arranged. Do you get my point? You can see. Or every sock, the socks in pairs, they are lined perfectly. You get what I'm saying? If they hang towel, the towels are okay. See, it's a personality type. You know something. If you marry a woman like that, God help you. But it's... But it's good. The house is always... My mom had a friend. Okay? Just to add this to you guys. Please, today I will preach anything I want to preach. Don't tell me to hurry. Today is the last day. If I'm still here preaching by 4, go.
God help you. Okay. My mom had a friend. Her house was all, they don't need to tell you. You don't enter the house. Some, it will just strike, this house is exceedingly neat. She never kept pets for any reason, because pets will litter the place. Now, I'll give you more gist about her in a moment. Now, those days, so psychology, psychiatry, if this is your personality type, it's okay. It's not a problem. In fact, it's good. Is it not good? So very clean. But then it becomes a personality disorder when it starts affecting your relationships. When your friends stop visiting you because they have to sterilize their shoe before they come in. Do you get what I'm saying? Back to my mom's friend. That was one reason my mother, you know the way women behave, you know, want to go somewhere, want your friend to come along with you. It's a normal thing. Remember those days, my mother alone, when she's coming to Enugu, she will bring a friend along. I'm going to see my daughter. Oh, come, let's go. You know that kind of thing. So my mom also used to do that. They are going somewhere, go with a friend. She never went with this woman anywhere. You know what my mother's reason was? She said that her behavior is embarrassing. You go to a house, they serve you drink. The woman is using style to inspect the hand of the person that brought the drink. She can't eat outside. She doesn't eat bread unless she bakes it herself. No, she has nothing against wheat. Just that when they bake bread, they will touch it before they bag it. Now, until I told you that many of you never knew they used to touch bread before they bag it. You will bring it out of the bag. Huh? You don't eat the whole thing. You didn't concern you. And you know what? The woman died like 30 years ago. My mother is still alive. Okay, if I'm mistaken, maybe 25 years. She didn't live long. She didn't live long. She did not live long. I've told of you are too careful. Eat, you know, good job. Sleep, you know, good sleep. You're not quite asking, you're running up and down like devil is pursuing you. As I was coming this morning, I saw one girl running up the hill. I said, see, this fat will not go. Leave all this here. This. Leave running up the hill for those who are going for Olympics. What's your problem? You just take a good walk, brisk walk, walk around. What is all? Your knee will still having problems. After a lot. You can't be pounding up and down like this with your this cheap canvas you bought from Onitsha. How much did you buy it? They say you canvas for 8.5, and you think you can run with it. Okay. See me in 8 years. If those knees are still normal, let me not say more than that. It can't be normal. Just by, if you want to be running up and down, go and buy high-quality canvas that when you hit the floor, it will distribute the weight. It will take the pounding away from your knees. Go and buy cheap canvas, be jogging up and down. Your knee will pay for it later. I know what I'm telling you. God, you are not an antelope, so you should know. I know what I'm telling you. You are not an antelope. I'm not saying you should do exercise. Did I say so? I didn't say so. But just be careful. What did I say?
Be careful.
Be careful. This woman with all divorce, all these are very... Do you know what? She didn't live long. That's what we call personality what? Disorder. When your personality type starts creating problems for relationship with people, every time we come to your house, we come and settle quarrel because your husband always drops his shoe. Husband, please arrange your shoe properly, okay? All of you are keeping quiet. Please. If I arrange your shoe properly at home, stop giving your wife problems. However, madam, if I don't call me to your house, so come and settle quarrel on who arranged shoe, who did they arrange shoe. If you call me, I'll carry all the shoes, put them in my boot and go away. It's because people have shoes. It's because you have shoes, that's why you can quarrel. The way shoes are arranged shouldn't cause family problems. Unless one of you has a mental problem. Then there are people who have anxiety problems. I've told you about personality disorders. There are those who have anxiety problems. Well, we call it neurosis. Anxiety is one of those things. I met a lady once. Jesus is my Lord. When I came to Enugu. The brother was in the same church. Both of them doctors. Brother is a doctor. She's a doctor. She was working
in this teaching hospital also.
Do you know, when I first met her, I thought it was a joke. Later, I told the brother in church, I saw your sister. I said, what's going on? I said, no, that's how she is. I said, no. So she wasn't joking. She has a skin. Now, please, if you have never had a skin rash in your life as an adult, put up your hand. If you have never had. I didn't say if you have had, because I know everybody has had. This doctor has the skin rash, came to me. It says, okay, that she went to the dermatologist, worried them until they took a biopsy. She now came to me. Me, I'm a pathologist. I was going to interpret the biopsy. She said, I told her what I felt it was, that it was nothing. It was a non-specific inflammation, nothing. She said, am I sure it's not mycosis fungoides? Now, forget the big English. I'll tell you what it is. That's a cancer of white cells. Excuse me. Why did your mind go to mycosis fungoides? I mean, like, there are many problems. There are like 1,000 other problems it could be. Why did you choose the only cancer of blood cells that is a cancer of blood cells? It hits the skin. So I like, now I think I jokingly told her something like, yeah, maybe it is. Not like, my friend, will you get away? No, that's not a joke. It didn't look like it, number one. There was no reason apart from the girl was not well mentally. So she thought the worst of every situation. She had a hysterical personality. In fact, neurosis, not personality. This was now a neurosis. She wasn't okay. Thinking the worst of everything. You hear a noise in the house. Say, hey, maybe the 7 armed robbers have come. Why 7? You didn't even think of rats. Which is more likely? Breeze is actually most likely because you didn't close your window well. For a gust of wind, we throw a pot off where you didn't balance it well. You didn't think of that. You think of 7 armed men in your house. A lot of people have problems, though. And you don't know. You think their problem is money. Their problem is not money. You see, and that's why sometimes, in fact, I was talking to somebody once, say all the things going on in this country, the wife decided to relocate. Men, please, let me beg you. Eh? It's better to to quarrel in your house. Now, I know people won't like it now. It's how women should leave their husbands. That's what is trending now. Okay? Please, don't leave your husband. Okay? However, men, insist on having the final word in that house. Otherwise, God will punish you if you don't do it. Your word must be fine now. Now, I'm not saying it should be a terror. Some people, you know, they just say, hey, Pastor Banke has said that we have the final word in this house. Let me just tell you, nobody may send you. Satan is worrying you, not me. What I said, I didn't say it should be a terror. I said the final word, must be your. For example, okay, like, it goes to teach us with the way I've worked for a long time. Every money we release, do you get my point? Is the CMD has to approve it. When I was chairman of some committee, they say, okay, your approval limit is this. At the end of the day, the final thing still lands on the chief medical director's office, and then he will sign. So that's what I mean. In the house, you are everything is your responsibility. Let me just talk for a minute about how to handle family issues. Madam, you can't insist on anything. Get that into your head. If you're a Christian woman, you can't. God didn't give you the privilege, the power to insist on anything. You make requests. Like I joke with my wife, I said, no, you make a request. I said, will you plead my... How did he say it again? How did he say it in the Bible? If it will please my Lord, yes, exactly. We joke about it. I said, no. It's a and a man, you know what the Bible says? Love your what? Wives. You know what love your wives means? All your actions must be in her best interest. It doesn't mean you will have your way. It just means it must be what? In her best interest. And you know, your best interest is not always what you like. You were young. Did you want to take the bitter medicine? No, answer me. Did you want to take bitter medicine? Did your father bring out a cane or your mother threaten you? Why? Because you're sick. In your best interest, you take that medicine. In your personal desire, may not leave me. But in your best interest, you will take the medicine. Have you seen some children, they don't use injections like these days. When we were young, injection was a normal thing. Injection is still there, but those days, you go to general hospital. It was war. I have seen, we've seen people that they give injection like this. Because of the force of their resistance, as they brought out the needle, the injection went out again. I'm serious, I've seen that one. The nurse said, no, wahala, I did here. We'll go back it again. You will have my father. We have to learn how to hold children. Put the head here. The mother will put the head here. WrestleMania, you know WrestleMania? Arm lock. Then lock the leg down here. Then bear the butt, yeah? Nurse, go ahead. You will still take the injection. Why? It's in your best interest. At the end of the day, when the nurse is now done, now, you now carry the child. Well, the child will not hold your body. You'll be rubbing the head. Now bring out the sweet. Donate the sweet. But they say it's daily for 1 week. We are coming back tomorrow. What is it? Why? It's your best interest. What I'm trying to say is that acting somebody's best interest doesn't mean it's always the nicest thing to do. But, brother, you know, I didn't know men were like this before. They are wicked people. Some men are wicked. And if you're a wicked man, repent or thunder fire you there. I know what I'm saying. Repent. Wickedness is not good. You shouldn't be wicked. You know what wickedness is? Taking joy in somebody else's pain. It's not good. You know, there are things you should not even... As a Christian, you should not be wicked. Tell your neighbor, repent. Yes. Or thunder fire you. Nonsense there. It's when the Christians. You have to be kind. What did I say? You have to be kind. However, you must issue the final word on everything. And don't let anybody use harassment to make you do what you don't believe is right. That was how Adam ate the fruit. He knew it was wrong. Bible says he was not deceived. Go and meditate on why a man who was not deceived would do what is wrong. So Banky was not deceived, yet he drank poison. You have to ask yourself, what happened? No. He said he knew. Was he suicidal? He wasn't suicidal. And he wasn't deceived. And he knew it was poison. And he drank it. You know, you have to ask yourself, why? One man, one day. It was a training video about 2 years ago. The woman was talking, they were having a debate about why women live longer than men. It's a fact. Women live longer than men, all right? On the average, okay? On the average, women live longer than men. Every time they show the oldest person in the world, these guys don't make it. That's that title. They can be richest, they can be the fastest, they can be the strongest, but oldest, the women will change it from one woman to another woman. If it's richest, the man, I've ever heard the richest woman in the world, the richest person in the world being a woman. Don't worry, you see, you say, hey, it's unequal. Some things are equally unequal. And I said, it is equal that a woman will never be the richest person in the world. Okay? But go and check it. That richest person probably fears one woman more than any other person. That's just the way it is. So, but the oldest, it's almost always women. The oldest person, it's women that just exchange it. And averagely, they live longer. Do you understand? The reason, you can look at it three different ways. Spiritually, physically, all right? And then, for example now, if they are shooting people, they hardly shoot women. I'm not saying they don't, though. If a woman gets shot, usually it's her husband that did it. That's where they get shot. But when you hear somebody just got on the bodies on the street shooting, these guys, they shoot now. These guys, they shoot. Do you know, Americans, I think the prison population in America is huge. 90% men. So you're going to die in prison, you're most likely to be a man. If you're going to die in gang violence, that you're like most likely to be a man. And then again, they worry more. So they tend to have more strokes, more heart failures, more. There are so many things. So they were not talking about it, why men live longer, why women live longer. This is what we're debating. You know. So one woman was talking, and the other man couldn't get a word in. She would talk. The guy would try to explain. No. You know, find the man managed to talk. He said, you see, when men are married to women who talk the way you do, they just want to die sooner. The guy was frustrated. He said, they just want to die sooner because. And that's what I'm trying to say. Ladies, don't let that happen. So that the man wants to die sooner because he can't get a word in. No. Like I say all the time, don't be difficult to lead. Don't be difficult to lead. It's very, very important. Okay? Now, how did they get into this? Life. Yeah. So, what I'm saying so is this. As people tell me something like, my wife just said, she's tired. Can you come? Your wife is tired? I forget your wife. You. What did you tell her? And the way they called, no, Pastor Craig did something once, all right? Ha. First, the guy made me. It was just like God. And you know when a man is talking faith, never join with unbeliever. If you don't know what to say, go home, go and pray. When that, you know that Buhari's election that he won against Jonathan, when Jonathan was going for his second proper tenure, you understand? That he lost to Buhari. We're together in Akure. On Wednesday, went for a burial. One of our senior brothers died. I went home to see my mom because the person, I'm from Ondo State, so I went to see my mom. He had to rush back to Sokoto. Let me tell you how bad it was. He got to Abuja. He couldn't get a flight to Sokoto. Of course, election time, politicians, the flights were packed. There was nothing. You know what he did? From the airport, before checkpoints and all of that, you would drive fast. When a northerner is driving you, there's nobody that drives like that in the south. When a northerner, they drive, if you do any of these rallies, they win all the races. Because you that know the house you built in the village, you don't want to die. The guy doesn't have all of those things. They drive fast. When you see the rallies they used to do those days, they won it all the time. Those the one I used to go to Sokoto by road then. We leave 5 o'clock. No, is it 7 a.m.? Yes. We'll be in the park by 5, get a vehicle. 7 a.m. non-stop. Eh? The guy stopped only once or so in Kaduna. It's 8 hours drive. Now let me explain. Now, because we're streaming this, we don't want to embarrass ourselves. You know what they call Roger? Yes. You know they call Roger? When it gets to Roger points, it doesn't slow down. It just winds down and throws the Roger out of the window. And continues going. And we did 8 straight hours. There was no banditry or those things. So there were no serious checkpoints. The military checkpoints were not there. Just a few 8 hours. So this is the kind of thing he did. When he got to the airport in Lagos, no flight, nothing in Abuja. Just from there, took an airport taxi straight to Sokoto. You know, he didn't take off at 7 a.m. or 6 a.m. So they drove a huge part of it at night. Just, you know, his own, he said, I have to be home because my family is safest where I am. That's where I'm going. I'm pastor of a church. Tension is coming. Everyone was tense. He said, I have to be physically present. That is when they are safest. Doesn't carry a gun. He's not armed physically. He said, my presence is their greatest protection. So it makes me laugh. When men export their wife and children for safety, are you crazy? So the way Nigeria is. So you think your wife and your children will be safer in North America than where you are in Abuja. You don't know anything. I mean, you talk about safety. Oh boy, I've lived in this Enugu for 20 something years. No, I've seen problems. It's not as if I've not seen them. Twice my neighbors have been robbed while I watched. I didn't even know what was going on. I just come out of the window. What's going on? Why is somebody there making? Why is somebody jump? You know, twice neighbors. So don't think I've not seen crisis. I've told you the day some boys armed wanted to, you know, come and rob me. You know, it was long after I realized what it was. I think the angels of God just came. Just blocked the area. And the boys ran. I was watching. I didn't even know what was going on. I was just standing there innocently. But the angels that God deployed to guard me, the boys looked in my direction. They saw them. And they entered. If you see the way they took off. It was after they left. I said, no. Oh, that thing is sticking on that guy's shirt. Was the gun. We're talking about eternal life, right? So when I see people running up and down, what you are looking for, that's what I'm saying. It's not there. It's in eternal life manifested. Let me tell you why eternal life is. You'll be in the midst of trouble. You will not be aware. The one that you, so if you are like that, let me just tell you now. You irritate me. What I'm about to say. People will call from abroad and ask you, how are you surviving in that country? That's a very stupid, idiotic question. You have more worries than I do. Like one man said, you wake up every morning, somebody's calling you from Europe, somewhere from, what is happening in this country? You're asking the person, what did you hear? He said, I hear there's kidnapping. You heard? Okay, I'm fine. Thank you. It's like me calling you every day. I heard that two people got shot in a birthday. I mean, it did not happen last week in New York, in the US. Four people. I said, so I wake you up every morning. Ah, oh boy, I hear say that they shoot for America. It's not fun. Then you wake me up every day. One guy said, you wake up. See, let me tell you the truth. Yeah? I'm talking about eternal life. That is what everybody's looking for. Eternal life is the reason why, people tell you that, that country that doesn't have constant power. And they are telling you, I don't know whether you're getting my point. You're not getting it. Someone outside telling you, you don't have constant power. And you are looking at yourself. You have ironed your clothes. You've gone to work. You've slept, you've woken up, your children have eaten. Are you getting my point? They say, there is no constant power in that country. They say, I don't manufacture now. Let those who... Your phone works all the time. I mean, what I mean is that the networks are always on. There's no power, but they always have signal. You are in the bush. Some of you, you've been to... I heard that Jonathan's village, heavy tropical rainforest that each tree is a cedar in Lebanon. But you know what? They get network. And some of the cause I say that country where they don't have constant power. And you're wondering that. See, at least we have constant life. The point I'm making is that you see people sometimes want to just I have a classmate. I don't yap him anymore. I've yapped him to the last two generations. So I've calmed down. Right? You know when you have somebody for two generations? Nobody should have his children for the one that you have only him. That's me. What's my issue with him? He wakes up every day, tells me everything that's wrong with Nigeria and he lives in UK. I said, why did they bother you? I said, should I tell you why it's bothering you? Because you are not happy where you are. That's what I tell him all the time. I said, do you know why it's bothering you? Because you are not happy where you are. So you need me to feel bad so that you can keep reminding yourself that you made a better decision than I did. I said, every day you tell me, nonsense. They do this one. By the time you finish, I say, do you realize that this is a sign of personal dissatisfaction? I hear complaints about Nigeria in my classmates' chat group. Most of the complaints are not from those who live there. I don't know about your own classmates, if you have chat group like that. Most of the complaints about the country is not from those who live there. The main issue is that I'm talking about life. Inside the heart. See, you can be in the midst of trouble. God gives you satisfaction we are talking about. It's called eternal life. a manifestation of eternal life is that satisfaction. So sometimes, why I'm saying all of these things, please, brethren, in case you are like that, stop running up and down because you don't know what you are looking for. Do you follow my point? Yeah. Stop running. You see, if they have problems, go and kneel down and ask God what. What adjustment am I supposed to make? I was talking about people who are depressed. You understand? A lot of family problems is people don't realize it. It's depression. It's mental illness. A lot of family, that's couple, husband, wife issue. This really happened. Friend of mine, father was a police, was a policeman those days. Long ago, I'm telling you. He's definitely, like in the 60s. So the man was in the police barracks. And the woman came out during the night, that my friend's mother, all right? Came out during the night in the barracks. And then right there, she ran into somebody in the dark. And the person gave her a heavy-duty slap. Being a young woman afraid to fight, she ran back into her house and locked the door. Very wise. You know why? Because by next morning, that other woman died. It was a woman that slapped her. For those who know, if you're a doctor, you're a nurse, you understand. The woman had preeclampsia. So her brain was already having shortage of oxygen. So she was disoriented. That slap was not malicious. It was pathologic. And thank God she did not react. If she had reacted and a fight had broken out, that woman would still have died. Or even died quicker. And you know what it is? They hold her responsible. And even if they did an autopsy and the doctors decided, see, this small horse scruffle had nothing to do with it. Look at all this. There's a way we decide that. Look at it. What would the family say? Cover up. They bribe the doctor. The coroner is if the coroner happens to now be from their village, Okwari, nobody will ever believe. As God will have it, that woman ran back inside, did not answer. So when that woman died the next morning, they couldn't hold her responsible. She was pregnant, late pregnancy. Where am I going with that? The fight will have started because somebody was sick. Many fights in homes today, they are starting because somebody is sick. We don't know. See, if it's somebody in your house suddenly start misbehaving, sudden personality change, a lot of them is brain tumor. And that's not supposed to be a joke. You have a brain tumor that presses on the frontal part of the head. You think the person has a psychiatric problem. He doesn't have. You go and do a scan, you see the tumor, they remove it, it gets well. Why am I saying all of this? People of God, if you ever have any problems in life, even if it's financial, it's not a new job you need. Go and pray. One day, a sister came to me for counsel, told me all kinds of problems they've had in the house, business that they did, that they didn't work out, everything. When she finished, because when you're talking, I keep asking the Lord, please give me a word. You know the word the Lord gave me? I said, my dear, you are trying to solve a spiritual problem through physical manipulations. You think what you need is more money. God said, no, you don't need more money. The one I've given you is actually enough. You need to just believe differently, do differently. I've said two things now. One, believe differently and act differently. You find that you don't have all these problems. Because I showed the individual, I said, you are still there, you are surviving. Yet, every investment you have made, you've lost money. What does that tell you? The money you invested could have used it for something else. I don't know whether I get it by point. Somebody comes and says, please, I need to earn more money. He now says he invested 10 million. Then the business all disappeared within a year and a half. And you're looking at, say, that 10 million you invested, should you now realize you had it? You don't get the point. That 10 million you invested, you actually had, and you were complaining that your problem was you didn't have money. Because at the end of the day, you're not owing anybody. What does that tell me? That 10 million that you invested, you had it. I'm not saying don't invest money. I hope you're getting my point. This particular person, at least now, is confirmed. The problem you had was not lack of money. Like I said to those who said, what future in this country? I say, you can raise 150. You're asking what future in this country? There are those who, their salary is just enough for them to eat for 1 month. And their future is bright. Those children they are raising, just managing to raise, one of them is going to become a governor. One of them is going to be assistant to Dangote, if you know what I'm saying. They'll be hustling for who's the richest man in Nigeria. And you that have this amount of money, you are telling me what's the future? What does that tell you? See, brethren, bear this in mind. There's what they call eternal life. That's what is called eternal life. That's actually what we are looking out for. And but we'd rather be running up and down. That eternal life, all right, is what it manifests in what we call satisfaction. Do you know it manifests in, listen to this, how to use your money efficiently? Eternal life, when it manifests, it manifests as favor. 10,000 naira will do what your neighbor couldn't do with 50,000. Yeah. You build a house as an example. Somebody will say, you must have spent like 500 million here. You say, me? If I see 500 million, do you think I'll still be this height? Yeah, because the other person who did it needed much more than that. Eternal life. Oh my God. If God keeps you healthy and you say you are not rich, let me not call thunder on your matter. Let me just say, may the Lord have extra mercy on you while you quickly repent, because that mercy will not last very long. He keeps you healthy and you say you are not rich. My Father in heaven, He keeps you healthy and you say you are not rich. Or He keeps your father healthy, your dependents, okay, you have 4 children. Praise God for your life. Amen? Amen. Say amen for me now.
Amen.
And then your neighbor took all of them for holiday in Abuja last time. Flew all of them to Abuja. And they came back. And the other friend of yours, he just came back from somewhere in Europe or Dubai. And all these 4 children, and you are grumbling. And you start complaining in your heart as a man or physically as a woman. They're kidding, because these children, they are growing now. They've never even gone on holiday. I know one thing about these children. They don't have your problems. You know what I mean? They don't have your problem. They are not aware they've never gone on holiday. What they are aware of is that you don't have games. One day my wife was traveling. This was long ago. She said that whether she can go, she was going to the US. She said whether she can go with 2 of the children. I looked like, what? And he said, they would like to see their cousins. I said, I don't think so. He said, why now? I was looking at her. He said, our pastor, come, you can afford it now. I was looking at her like this. I said, so they go to the US to go and see cousins. I said, what's wrong with, Skype. I said, what's wrong with Skype? Nobody to see. I will pay for correct data. Was expensive data. I said, I will pay for data. Tell them, say, time to see everybody, Skype. We'll go see. Say, no, now it's not like that. You know, everybody get their own problem. That was not one of my problems in this life. So I now called the children. I said, make a choice. You go with mommy, or I buy you them PS4 they didn't have. I said, I buy you PS4. I buy a load of games. And then we'll go to, the mall was still new that time. I said, we'll visit the mall every weekend for like a month. Or you go to the US, choose one. Hey, my father. It was Akinlu that spoke. Oh, this one, I mean, the mom was still new, so you can imagine. Akinlu said, the mom now. I mean, like, it's like, are we discussing this? I mean, are we having this conversation? Are we discussing this matter? No. How is this an issue? It was the way she answered the mother. The mother said, come on, you're not serious. This one is better. He said, mommy, there will always be America. Is it America? We can go to America now. What are you talking about? America. We'll go another time. PS4. PS4. I beg you, not try them. The Lord is good. So some of these things that you are complaining about, did you not know? You see, they have different problems. So your own, your problem is your own pride. You know now is your pride. School is going to open and you have to talk where you went for the holiday. That's it. That is your pride is what, and then sometimes people do things because they feel like, let this world not leave me behind. See, first, let's get something clear. The world has left you behind. Have you ever gone to space? People are doing space tourism now, so they will keep on leaving. You leave that thing, okay? Some people do things like that, okay? There's nothing you are looking for, paying for things you can't afford. All right? Now, where I'm going with the whole thing here, let me just quickly stop down. Let me not say some digest. But that God kept those four children healthy for you. Papa God doesn't like doing this, but sometimes he does it. So these problems you are having now is because you don't have problems. Let me give you small problems. Let me book your son for surgery. People are saying the other day, our man of God, you know, that I had to rush, those of you who know, you know, I had to rush out of town, okay? You know, he was supposed to fly, let me not mention it, he was supposed to fly back somewhere. They had to rush to go and see his mother. 8.5 million naira bill was waiting for him because the mother fell. Oh, Rara, you were there, Daddy? That motor where he entered, he reached house. 8.5 million naira bill was waiting because his mother fell. Doctor said, look, just drop 6.5. We'll settle the 2 million later. See, as that man entered that motor, you saw that day. By the end of 2 days, he had to cough up 6.5 million naira. So that's what I'm telling you. So those four children, they don't need to travel anywhere. They just need to remain healthy. Do you get my point? Use that money to buy Jangrova. You know what it's called, Jangrova? I'm telling you. You can't buy, carry them every weekend to one place where they spend Jangrova. Maybe they see, waiting children want more than ice cream and meat pie. Use a portion of that money to buy a big television, very big. You know, a big one. Then get a flash, pay for internet, and stream National Geographic. The weekend, go Jangrova. If your own pride was not your problem, you know what I've said. Is good enough. If your pride was not part of the problem, you know this thing that I've said is more than good enough. Eternal life. That is what we are looking for all the time. That's what I'm trying to say. We'll be pursuing it left, right, and center. One of the ways, see, I've not had a lot of money all my life like that, was I think say I'm hardly ever broke. Is that why? I said, you see, it's because I don't do what other people do. So they're looking for money. They say that even pastors, they go, they raise money. I say, see, most of the time, you don't have a problem. I've been where people raise money every day. And I look at the problem they are trying to solve. I say, that's not a problem. Some of us, they go, say, and it's a warning, I'm telling you. There are times you create problems and the Lord says, I will give you problems. So. Do you get what I'm saying? He said, you know, the problem you have right now is that you don't have a problem. So let me just give you a small one. That's why I told the story. Of our brother that had to go and take care of a mother, and suddenly this is the amount of money he had to come up with. Maybe because God has kept you healthy. It's not like when you say, oh, Nigerians like to go to traditional doctor a lot. They don't. You know, I used to say that also before that. What's wrong with Nigerians? It would be maybe somebody fell, broke a leg, they would go to a traditional bone setter. I used to think that it was ignorance. Yeah, I get my point. And later I realized it's not ignorance. So it is not ignorance at all. You know what the problem is? It's money. See, a traditional bone setter can charge you, so stay there, 1,000 naira a day. How much do they charge now? Is it 500 naira a day? You just stay there, they'll just be arranging your leg, massaging it, and putting lotion, and putting this thing. You go to the hospital? First, they say, go and get your x-ray. After the X-ray, CT scan, his bone, CT scan. If they feel something is soft there, go and do MRI. They've not started treating you, they're just trying to see what's wrong with you. And you've already raked in like 200,000 naira bill, and they have not, see, you have not paid the doctor. You have not paid for any drug. The doctor just wants to see what really broke, because sometimes bone broke, but did it trap a nerve? Did it trap a muscle? They can't see that on X-ray. So he said, to see that, get me an MRI. And you go, they say MRI is 85K. It's 120K. Then he now decides that, yes, this is really what happened. Now, modern treatment, they don't want to, those who were younger, where you see young those days, they will put you on the bed, put traction. They don't like that anymore because he has his own problems. So they say, we'll have to go to theater. Now, bone. They will tell your father to draw 4 million naira before they start going. In a private setting. That is why to go to traditional theater. Because if you stay there for 1 year, you won't finish the money for X-ray and MRI alone. Your leg will heal 7 inches shorter, but at least. See, all the inches is 1 inch per million. Do you get my point? Yeah. Because if you had 7 million naira, that leg will have healed totally, completely, normally. They will put all the nails back in the right places, put all the muscles back in the right places, lengthen it, make sure it has been, they will make sure it is the correct length. Use, look, they have carpentry work side there. Screw, they'll do everything. Bro, 7 million naira because you broke leg. That is why we go to traditional setters. Because after seeing those for a long time, 150K no go finish. A few of us will die in the process, but it's okay. A few people can die. At least we'll save the money. What am I trying to say? If God keeps you healthy, don't tell me he hasn't done something for you. Don't. I know what I'm telling you. Please, don't let him make you learn to appreciate by giving you small. Bad time in here, say, God, don't give me anyone. I appreciate. Just take a moment and say, Father God, please. Just say, Father God, please, don't give me any problem. I appreciate the one you have done. Please, thank you. Food available, yes, thank you. Air, I can breathe. Take in a deep breath and say, Lord, thank you for that breath. And if you were not able to breathe before, well, right now, receive that healing in the name of Jesus Christ. Right now, begin to breathe well and give the Lord thanks. Ah. In Jesus' name. Please, let me just try and... Let's get back to what we're saying. He said, to whom shall we go? And that's what I wanted to preach to us this morning. I just took a small trip to explain to us what we are looking for is what is called eternal life. What you are looking for, brethren, is not security for your children. What you are looking for is eternal life manifested. What you are looking for is what will the future hold? How can I be assured of what the future will be like? That's not what you are looking for. What you may not know, that's the point. What you are looking for is eternal life manifested. Is people going out to go and drink? They want to be happy. Many times, they just want to be happy. It's eternal life. That is why if you're a Christian, you have no business. In fact, I think it would be hard for a committed Christian to be hooked on drugs. It would be hard. You need to, your Christianity has to be shaky for anybody to go and give you drugs, for you to hook you. It has to be. You know why? Because the high they are looking for, eh? If you come to church, you join worship for 10 minutes, you get higher than that. See, if you join true worship for 10 minutes, cocaine can't give that to you. It can, you know, many people who think cocaine is good, you know why? You know why they think so? Should I tell you why? Because they drop so low. Cocaine only brings them up to the level I wake in normally. Do you get my point? See, if I wake up in the morning, I just stretch my hand like this. What am I looking for? Eh? Chibeze, shout it loud. Thank you. You know why he knows? He does exactly the same thing. He's a man of like passion. It's as if you just want to be sure that you're still there. That kind of thing. You never open eye. You just do like this. You never feel like that. You never rub your back like this. Up and down, small. Do you know that feeling? Eh? That's 25K cocaine. To get that feeling, if you're a cocaine man, 25,000. that, you know what? You don't think anything of it. That's what I'm making. You don't think anything of it. To you, it's normal. But some people drop down so low. Eh? They drop down so low that to come back to up to where you are, which is normal, they need a shot of cocaine. They do. I'm a preacher. All right? I mean, I teach the word here. Many times I go home after Saturday morning, like after teaching and teaching and teaching. For those of you who used to do evening, all right? I finish teaching, I get home. You know, I just say, what I just want is a tall glass of, a big glass of soft drink. Those that we used to even do Ribena. You know that black currant drink? Yes. Plenty. I'll now cross my leg and just be watching something on television. If you know the kind of joy where they get that, and when I know, say, I don't bless people. Do you know there's a way you will bless people? You know virtue left you. You ask my wife, I don't feel like doing anything. I personally understand why Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. I personally understand it. There's a kind of, we exist for something that comes out of your soul at such times. So a Christian taking drugs, you must have missed the will of God. Because God himself is a drug. You're not getting my point. The knowledge of God is a drug. The service of God is a drug. The fruit of the Spirit is a drug. And anointing of the Holy Spirit is a drug. You see, if you see the thing I mentioned, the knowledge of God is a drug. It injects you, get high. The service of God, you do it, you get high. I hope you're getting my point. The fruit of the Spirit, you do it, you get high. I'm telling you, you are anointed by the Holy Spirit for something. It hits you, you get high. Wait, why do you think Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost? Bible says that these are not drunk as you suppose. You know, those people say that they are drunk. Why they say we're drunk? Because they were speaking other tongues. They were behaving, my brother, like drunk people. Because until I thought about it some years ago, it never hit me. So they were speaking Holy Spirit, they were speaking other tongues, and the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. Ah, so I was like, people now say these are drunk. I said, wait. Oh boy. Many of you, don't put up your hand. If you've ever been drunk here before, think about it. Did you start speaking Spanish because you drank something? The language you did not know before, drinking doesn't teach you. The worst drinking will do for you is make the one you knew vanish. Or when you want to speak, you'll be speaking up and down. You cannot dust that. You just be talking nonsense. Says your guy coming back, it could me, it could not me. I don't know. That is the one you know already. Can you see? It doesn't teach you anything new. So why did they say they were drunk? It's simple. The Holy Spirit hit them. They couldn't stand straight. They were behaving like they took alcohol. A man stood up and fell. Tried to stand up again. Hold the other one. That one too fell. So people thought that they were all drunk. What am I going to say? The Holy Spirit has more power than alcohol. The Holy Spirit comes upon you. He has a better heat than heroin. People that take heroin, when it hits them, if you've seen them in movies, it hits them, suddenly they go still, they turn their eyes. They feel like sleeping. When the Spirit hits you, you get a heavier heat than that. That's why they say, it may sound like a cliche and like a fun saying, but it's actually true. That you can get high on the most high. And when you are high on the most high, there's nothing higher than that. Yeah. Anyone getting high on the most high, you don't need, see, brethren, you don't need cocaine, you don't need heroin, you don't need anything. Anyone, see, please don't bother trying. You know what? You will be disappointed. The word of God hits you. You get drunk with the word of God. By the time you go and drink alcohol, that one gives you a bad hangover. Your brain leaves. You start making stupid choices. That's what alcohol does. But when you are drunk on the Holy Spirit, I said, remember what, you know, I was telling my wife, you know, the other, a few days ago, we were just talking in the house. I said, oh yeah. I said, may Holy Spirit really do us that those days. Oh. But we did not know. Honestly, we didn't know. You know, brother, let me say this again. See, that falling up and down and all of that is not, is, maybe that's when the Holy Spirit came, but that's not the working of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit starts working, really. I tell my wife, I said, those days, I just look back at some things that we did. I said, at that age, I said, that was the Holy Spirit we did not know. That was the Holy Spirit we did not know. One of the ones I was just now realizing was the day I was reading this book, Two Kinds of Faith, by W. Kenyon. My happy those days, I'm going to class, I take a Christian book apart from my Bible, plus my textbooks as a student. So I sat in class. Let me, the one I took that day was Two Kinds of Faith by W. Kenyon. I still remember the hall I was sitting in. LT4. Yeah, there are two lecture halls, the LT3 and LT4. So sometimes I mix them up. But I think that was LT4. Remember in school? So I got there, I sat down to read. I read one line. I read another line. I couldn't keep quiet. I read another line. I was reading, and suddenly, you get my point? I felt like jumping. Literally, the jump came into my body. Do you know, I thought it was the words, but I was in class, we were reading on my left and my right. So what did I do? I took the book and went to the back of the hall, of the lecture hall. There was a bench out there. I still remember very well, and where it was facing. I sat on it. I started reading it, and I was now jumping this time around on the bench all by myself. Then one guy now came, he wanted to sit down. He sat on the bench. So I looked at him like, you want to disturb my jumping? I left the class so I could come and jump comfortably outside. You now came. So I ignored him. Now what I mean, I'm reading out loud. I'll read the line. I'll repeat it. I'll pray in the spirit. Pray in other tongues. I'll read the line. And I was jumping on the chair. The guy said, I don't know. Eventually he got frustrated and left. I said, look, I left the class. I'm not living here for you. That's not the gist. That's not the full gist. That's part of it. And I didn't know it was the Holy Spirit. I thought the book was just good. So one day I got to the room. One brother, he laid on the bed. I was in the same book. I know what he was doing. Guess now. He was jumping. This time around, he was lying down. So he was bouncing up and down on the bed. He read a line and read it out and jump up and down on the bed. So I said, bro, what's going on? He said, he's reading this book. I said, huh? He said, you say you have read it. I said, yeah. I said, you were able to sit down. I said, who told you I sat down? Because he was wondering, how can you read this book and sit down? Brethren, I read the book. I told him, who told you I sat down? This guy was jumping up and down the bed. Do you know, it just last year or 2 years ago. Now, this story I'm telling you happened around 1989. Do you know, just 2 years ago, 30-something years later, that I realized, oh my God, it was the Holy Spirit. It was in the book. I said, oh, it was the Holy Spirit. It was not the book. It made you behave as if you were drunk. One day, this tract, a prayer for your healing. You know, we have this tract, a prayer for your healing. You know it?
Yes.
So those days, when I started printing tracts, people in my office did not know I was Pastor Banky. I come, I share the tract out. There was one guy in my office, he's late now. He will come. He said that his family, they are using it for morning devotion now. He will tell me the things they have learned, how this one. He never knew who it was. I've been listening and say, okay. He said, so I should tell Pastor Banky that it's been a blessing and all of that. I said, no problem, sir. Then he will come again that any new ones from Pastor Banky, if we have new ones, I give to him. Then he goes to the family and uses it for devotion. And he comes back to tell me the testimonies. I don't know when I finally let him know that's actually my first name. He was shocked. We worked in the same department. It didn't click. There was one doctor then in UNT those days. He came to meet me. That they told him that he wants to talk to Pastor Banky, that I will be able to introduce him to Pastor Banky. I said, there's no problem. So that day, I think I gave an appointment. He now came. So he now said, okay, so when are we going? I said, you want to see Pastor Banky? He said, yes. When are we going? I said, tell me whatever you want to tell him. You know, those days were not on radio. So people used to just get mostly the teaching, cassettes, some, and then this thing. But I think it was when I now told him, go ahead, I'm Pastor Banky. You can't look at me like, Ah, this is my colleague here. I say I'm the one. Now, why am I telling you? So, one of those days, so those tracts I used to share around. So, one day I gave it to some women in my office. So, I came to the general office, in one of the laboratories. I just sat down there, just listening with people. I just heard somebody say, Jesus, yay, oh, hey, Jesus, hey. So, I looked. Madam, what's the problem? He said, what? I said, you were shouting. He said, I was. I said, yes. There was other people there. Yes, you were talking, you were shouting loud. Jesus, yay. Oh, Jesus. You know what? She said she did not know she was saying anything. She thought she was saying it in her heart. She didn't, you know, she was reading the book, the track, A Prayer for Healing, line by line, and was shouting and did not know she was saying anything. That's what I'm telling you. This Holy Spirit, if you have the Holy Spirit, there's no need to drink. There's nothing you are getting out of it. If you see anybody hooked on drugs, he did not have the Holy Spirit. Or when it happens to a Christian, see, it's a clear sign, guaranteed, of backsliding. Because what the drugs give, Holy Spirit gives more without side effect. Yeah, without side effect. I was telling my wife, I said, those experiences, those days, it was later on and now I realized that the boldness, there are things I look back. There was a boldness I handled my first exam, second MB, University of Benin, the one we did do internal level at medical students. I went around, you know, I just go around just talking things. I'm not at this exam, I'm going to pass it. I'm not going to fail it for what? Why will I fail it? Why? I said, because greater is it that is me than that is the world. We just talk. I thought we had, it wasn't wisdom, it was the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit. He said, no, that one, the Lord will take. We just be declaring, just talking. One day, two of them, of course, they are still in my chat group today. Two of my classmates. He just got up, one of them just got up. Say, you Chris, just be talking as if God belongs to only you, and he started walking away. I say it belongs to everybody. You can take as much of him as you want. That was the answer I gave. I said, no need to get angry. It's available for everybody. Take the one you want. I've taken my portion. Why are you complaining? Oh boy. I was in 300 level. I was a very young boy. And I said, you know, I look back and I said, back you said that. Next day, another one, that guy's friend. He has a very deep voice. Say, thank you. Do you know that it's not good to just be talking so boldly anyhow like that? I said to him, I said, depends on who you are relying on. I look back, the kind of answer I gave those guys. I said, if you know who you are relying on, you can say anything you want to say. You see, even if I wanted to fail that exam, God said, back, the way you have put me in trouble in this your class, I just have to help you pass this exam because I can't stand, me, God, though, I can't let it happen. Because they'll be abusing me because of you. When I was going for the last exam by chemistry, God had to give me, say, okay, come. These are the four questions they are going to ask you tomorrow. These are how you answer it. I said, yes, sir. Of course, I told the story the way it happened. I was about to walk into the exam. I read three of them. I remember them today. I can give the answers, the questions. I remember the questions till today since I did it. But I look back. It wasn't, brethren, it's the Holy Spirit, too. I look back, I say, Kai, that thing was the Holy Spirit. The wisdom with which we undo some things, I say, was the Holy Spirit. Even to know to go and pray for the Holy Spirit, I say, stop saying it is volatile. I look back, it's a walking of the. So why, brethren, you see, people are going to give lecture to young people, you know, no need to take crystal meth. No, they don't need lectures, they need the word. Please, you can never help any young person with advice. It doesn't work. Because in the person giving them the opposite advice, he's not using human wisdom, he's using a spiritual force. No, he's using a spiritual force. So you want to counteract demonic forces with argument? You want to counteract demonic forces with arguments? That is why we have to do this, and we're talking about yesterday, PhD. No, something we're discussing. PhD is purpose, hope, and destiny seminars on campuses. Go and teach the young people. It's not to go and give them, say, Nigeria is a, no. Don't go there and tell them Nigeria is a good country. Let me tell you the truth. Nigeria is a bad country. America is a bad country. Ghana is a bad country. Canada is a bank country. This whole world lies under the power of the evil one. So I don't mean that Nigeria is bad. I just mean that it's a world. It's bad. I'm not going to sell a world to you as being good. There's nothing like that. But be of good cheer. That's the message. The Lord has overcome the world. You give the people the word. That is why young people will not take drugs. I remember the first time you came to persuade me to go to your school. Do you remember? You do remember? This man, an evangelist, too. I can't even remember all the story around it. Did I go to that one? That first one? Eh? Okay. There was one that tall reverend came. Was in your school? Eh? Yes, there was one. In fact, I gave you my Bible and I gave you my car. Do you remember? I said, just carry, by the time you carry my car and my Bible, you go with my anointing. That's what we did that day. I just gave him the car and I gave him the Bible. I said, you should go. But there's another, but I remember the argument he gave when we came that time was that, he said, oh God, please come and help them. People are frustrated. Do you remember? That the people are confused. They don't believe there's a future. He said, sir, I used to be like that. He said, come, sir. Come and, his own was that, come and deliver life by the word. You can't go and be giving young people advice. Advice can't help anybody. It is life that is in the word. He said, you have the words of eternal life. That's what we are looking for. Brethren, your children don't need physical security. They need eternal life. You know the beauty about eternal life? Anywhere you plant it, it produces life. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
What Nigeria needs is eternal life. Oh, sometimes I feel sorry for a man like President Bola Ahmed Tinubu. They go abuse you. The people that hate you are telling you to solve Nigeria. They said you should solve the problem. Meanwhile, they hate you. They are Christians that can't pray for him. You know that? And they are still asking, what is he doing to stop the killing of Christians? Say, yeah, what do you mean? You should make up your mind. Either you don't like the man or you like him. You can't make demands of him if you are not praying for him. You know why I just feel sorry for him? When I saw the way recently, remove this one, put it there, bring this one back as a minister for defense and all of that. And the minister for defense is saying that we'll root out boundaries. I said, okay, stop making noise. You were chief of defense staff. What magic do you want to do now as being minister? But he just has to make a speech. You know what I'm saying? So, Christians, that's what it's not the president's actions that we need. The president needs our prayer. What we need in this nation is the planting of what? Eternal life. Eternal life, you plant it, it will stop. See, thus says the Lord, I will break these weapons of war. Say amen.
Amen.
You know why? His name is the Lord. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. Before that, he said, come and see the desolations he has wrought. So we ask him, Lord, give mercy. Have mercy. But what we need is what I'm talking about, eternal. When you are running up and down, see, if you have problem, let me just summarize that portion of it. If you have that problem in any problem in life, don't solve it with material manipulation. Did you hear what I said? Don't just change your jobs. Your job, say, let me get another one. You may get there. You may even have more money and have more problems. You know what Solomon said? When money increases, what happens? I didn't hear that. Some people don't know. When money increases, the number of mouths that eat it increases. The number of, you know, before I used to think that your relatives will just gather and be eating. That's part of it. Your relatives are going to come. Amen?
Amen?
Ah, you don't want them to come?
Amen.
Okay, whether you say amen or not, they are coming. But more than that, the number of the mouth that your shirts bear, they will increase. The house you live in. And listen, don't tell me, I won't let it happen to me. Money has a mind of its own. It's not asking your counsel. It's telling you what to do. You'll be sleeping, wake you up, say, pack out of this house, move to a better house. You will have moved before you realize that it was not your decision, it was money decisions. What am I going to say? No, don't just change jobs anyhow because you earn more money. No. What you need, if there is any problem in your life, what do you need? Eternal life. What do you, go and pray. I'm mainly try about this. You are a single woman, I think your problem now is because you don't have a husband. That all of these things happen is because there is no husband in your life. One woman told me one day, she walked together. She said that she prayed for husband, that the man finally came. She said now she's wondering whether she's not better off when she was single. It got to a point, she wanted to tell God, please kill this man so I can... Yeah. That's how frustrated the woman became. Meanwhile, you never, if you had told her that your problem in life is not husband, she wouldn't have believed. I'm telling you what she told me by her mouth, with her own mouth. He said, Doc, this is how I was praying that time. He said, God now brought the man. He said, now, I'm wishing he did not. Because the problems I'm having now, they are worse. Look, let me hurry. I'm not supposed to stay here for too long. I mean, on this part of the ceremony. Dami, what are your testimonies? They are ready.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, what I want to bring up from there is just one statement. Let me make it, and then we'll go. Now, one thing I want to just emphasize is what Peter said. He said, to whom shall we go? Now, let me paraphrase what he said. We have made our commitment to follow the words of eternal life. And that's what I'm preaching. To whom shall we go? We have made our commitment that we will follow the words of eternal life. I remember that our fake prophet in this nation, I don't like mentioning his name so that you won't just be making him popular. When people will be arguing with me, I say, listen, look, no, they were asking, you say he's not a man of God. I ask them, how do you know he's a man of God? They have only two things to tell me. Only two. Those of you who know, what are the first two things? He gives to the poor, thank you, all right? I mean, every mafia don gives to the poor, they are all men of God, all right? Number two, they say he does miracles. And of course, as part of that, he prophesied a thing and it came to pass. Thank you. It came to pass. Nobody, not one of them, ever quoted for me one thing he said and they learnt. They never quoted for me one thing he said and they burnt, very important, and they burnt in their hearts. See, there's almost nobody I listen to you have not heard me quote. Almost nobody. Even people I don't listen to much. There are some of them, they are men of God, they are good men of God, but they have some very terrible doctrines. And for that reason, I don't like mentioning their names because that will make people go and start listening to their messages, which I don't want them to do. However, the little of them, of the messages I listen to that blessed me, I still quote it all the time. I mean, not, I just say one man of God said, I could tell you who, but I don't like the things he says otherwise. The words actually burn. Yeah, they actually burn. Why? Because they're anointed. If somebody has the grace of God, no matter how gently he speaks, the words will burn. When they were walking with Jesus on the road, how do you think he was talking to them? He was saying that, he go there, he's in Mark, he's in Psalm 1, he's a blessed, he's a... No, they were walking on the road, he was talking to them normally. He didn't say, thus says the Lord, through Ezekiah. Is it Ezekiah? Was he a prophet? No, that was a king. He wasn't shouting, thus says the Lord through Jeremiah. According to Isaiah, he didn't do that too. He was talking to them normally. They did not hear this. When David said, what do you think he was referring to? The time God said it in Genesis, what did he say? He was talking normally. And what was happening? The words were burning in their hearts. The words were burning in their hearts. The words were burning in their hearts. So I said to people, what did that man ever say? One thing that he helped you with in this life. Not one thing. Not one. All the times that he prophesied something, he came to pass. He gives food to the poor. And he does miracles, which we all know he did not do. Now we know they were staged. And you didn't have to be too intelligent. You just need to watch it with a critical eye. And you know that this was a lie. Like the young man I told you, he said he was healed. You see his eyes there. He had pus everywhere. He said he was blind. I said, I've seen blind people. Not one of them has pus in the eyes. They are not stupid. They are only blind. They are not dirty. Just that they can't see. They can wash their face. If there's anything that they will clean it, they can feel it, they will clean it. I said, this is makeup. It was clear. Then he came. He did what he wanted to do. And then the guy said, oh, I can see. Then immediately he took the microphone. The young man, who had never seen, who wasn't seen before, who could not see. I said, oh, praise God, I can see. Praise God, I can see. Chief, is that how blind people react when they can see? The young man was like early 20s. What would he have done if truly he could see? See, he will jump. His hand will touch the roof. He would not at all ever think of taking the microphone. Haba. Even you that could see, if you can see better, will you take the microphone? Maybe you were using glasses yesterday. Suddenly, you don't need glasses anymore. And you pastor, give me the microphone. I want to testify. No, now. You'll be collecting your neighbor's Bible, reading it. Collecting every book you see to read. The guy told him, I said, hey, thank God I can see. Thank God I can see. I said, oh my friend, go and sit down. You are a liar. The important thing is that no word is spoke burnt in anybody's heart. I hope you're getting the point I'm making. But please, let me just pass a comment about Peter and then so I can stop. Peter said, to whom shall we go? See, there's something, this is where I wanted to start from. I think I've gotten there. If you go to our website or check the back of books that I wrote, there's something I say all the time. What's Kingdom World Ministries about? What's Kingdom World Ministries about? And I want to leave this charge with you as we close for the year. As you know, this ministry, we are officially closing our regular meetings today. Friday meetings ended, that is the online live meetings, ended yesterday. Tuesday, last Tuesday. Today is the final one on Saturday. So we'll take a few testimonies now. We'll close like that every year so that I can breathe, so everybody else working with me can breathe, so that Elder John can fully recover. Because his case is like that of Epaphroditus right now. We heard he was sick. Well, God had mercy on us, and he has raised him up, so he can fully recover. We're going to let him go and rest till January. The Lord is good.
All the time.
But what's the ministry about? That's what I'm referring to. The focus we have all the time, this is the passion of my heart, is that Christians will be like Peter, and they will build their lives on the words of eternal life. You hear what I said? That Christians will build their lives on what? The words of eternal life. That Christians will build their lives on the words of eternal life. What makes you a believer, brethren, is not the church you go to. What makes you a Christian is not how you dress. Do you understand? I'm not saying your values will not show in your clothing. It will. It will most certainly show, without doubt. But what makes you a Christian, is what I'm trying to say, is not the name you bear. What makes you a Christian is the fact that you are building your life, your hope, the precepts by which you walk on the word of God. Which means that if everybody is running, you say, I will not run. It will be because God said, no need to run. He said, save your life. He said, no, I'd rather die obeying what God said than running to save my life. And it's literally that in scripture. People sometimes think that what we are saying is that if you obey God, you will see results. Please, if I said that to you before, I'm sorry. I shouldn't say that to you, to anybody. I'm not preaching the gospel of results. I distance myself from that line of teaching. What I'm saying is that there's a way God wants you to live. If you live like that, he will be pleased. That's what I'm saying. Let me say it again. There is a way God wants you to live. And I'm saying to you, live like that, he will be pleased. Damn, yesterday you were teaching. What I think so should satisfy us as believers. We listen to a number of things. Don't tell me before God, you were the teacher. Number one, we read a number of them. Do you remember them? We read from the book of John chapter 4. My food, and that was verse 24, my satisfaction is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. That should make you happy as a believer. We picked another one, that I will dwell in the temple and behold the beauty of the Lord. David said, that's one thing I have asked of the Lord. as a believer, that should satisfy you. Do you remember that? Give me the other ones. Yes, he said, for you have loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God thy God has anointed you with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. So a Christian should just what? Love righteousness because it is righteous. You should be satisfied with the fact that you have done what is right, not because it produces anything. We talked about godliness with contentment. And we said that what is godliness with contentment? It means doing what is right and be joyful and happy and glad and satisfied and content with having done what is right. So if I have 10,000 naira and I have to give out 7,000 and I have 3,000 left, it is not a testimony that, do you know, I give out 7,000, but this morning I have 77,000. That's not a testimony. The testimony is that, dear brethren, I needed 10,000 naira. But somebody needed 7,000 out of that 10,000. And my spirit rose and I was able to give it. Give the Lord praise. That's enough. Because it takes faith to do that. That the faith of God worked in me. But we have this transactional attitude, which is very ungodly. And by the Spirit of God, I command His people this morning, get rid of transactional behavior with the Lord. Get rid of it. Should we pray? Yes. Why? It's good. Do you get my point?
Yes.
Should we worship? Yes. Why? Worship is good. Do you follow my point? Should we give? Yes. Why? Give us. The believers are cheerful givers. We are children of God. It demonstrates the godliness that's inside us. Is the way by which we get? No. The way we get is how? Who can tell me one word? One word. Asking. How do we get from God? We ask. So you must have seed in the ground. That's nonsense talk. There's nothing like that. The greatest gift he ever gave, what did you sow for it? Christ Jesus, the greatest gift. He didn't take anything from you. He didn't take anything from you. The Bible says, why were you, what? Yeah. Now let me tell you what the meaning of yet sinners means. When our offerings were not acceptable. Brethren, that is what I preach to. I am not a preacher of results. What results do you have to show? I don't have any. Let me tell you the results I have to show, in case you want to know. That my mother gave birth to me some 54 years ago, and I did not die. That God laid his hands upon me somewhere along the line. I don't know exactly when, but he began to guide me. That's the results I have to show. What results do I have to show? That every week for over when did my wife and I come to Enugu? 2000. This is 24 years. Every week I have released a new teaching and they are available till today. That's the result I have to show. What's the result I have to show? People listen to them. One day a young man saw me, said, Pastor Banky, I said yes, in the banking hall. He said, what are you doing here? I said, I have transactions to do. He said, you come to the bank. What's wrong with coming to the bank? You know what he said? He felt I was too big to come to the bank. That big men like me should have boys. He said, don't you have boys that can do these runs for you? They can't sign my signature. But because I have transactions, that I'm talking about, there's no big man in this matter. There's no big man. I don't have the results to show that made the kingdom world. No. What I pursue, I was talking with Dami yesterday when we finished the Bible study online. I said, I see so much ignorance. I know I have work to do. Sometimes I hear pastors preach and I say, and God put in charge of people to talk. And they're going to build their lives on this thing you are saying. I said, no, I have work to do. I see a lot of ignorance outside. I said, no, I have work to do. And sometimes I keep on wondering, is it that people, I don't want to say, who should regulate preaching in this country? Let's just allow the Holy Spirit to regulate. Because every boy that has a ring light and has this cheap microphone, they're on social media. And the more nonsense that you talk, the more trendy you become. See, let me tell you how to make $1 million in a week from the Bible. See, let me just do that. You can go and try it. You will die early, but just try. But you will see how it works. Just start next year. How to make it, just start with praise God, hallelujah. How to make $1 million every week from the scriptures. This Bible has keys for making $1 million a week. It has keys. Just listen to me. Just go Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, brethren, everything must have a beginning. Your million has a beginning. Tell your neighbor your million has a beginning. Just continue like that. You know what will happen? Within a few months, you become the millionaire a week pastor. And what you will be shocked with is the amount of follow. See, subscribers on YouTube will hit 100,000 within a few months. You start selling the oil that activates the million a week. That means by the end of the year, you buy a Geo class. You won't live long, but at least the short you will live, you will drive G class and die inside the G class one day. It's very painful. It may sound like we are joking, but people do that. But me, what I just said, no, Banky, God said, use God's gonna sit down. Teach the word. The truth will not make you trend all of a sudden. It won't. There are some teaching now going out on marriage. I feel so bad. I check, okay, I go there, I look at it, number of views. 50,000, 100,000 views. See, views running into hundreds of thousands. I just look, I said, but these things are not good now. There's somebody preaching one of that. I said, there's somebody I know that knows this individual. I said, tell this individual to stop preaching these things. You're hurt, you're pained, but that's what people want to hear. That's what they want to hear. Please, I charge you this morning as we close for the year. Build your life on the words of eternal life. Not results. Not results. Many people that obeyed God in the Bible, let me tell you what happened to them, they beheaded them. Many people that obeyed God in the scriptures, they walked around destitute. People, the Bible says, this world was not worthy of having them present. People that God is still speaking through to this earth today. I say boldly, if Paul was alive today, many of these our church programs, he would not be welcome. No, we won't invite him. Ah. Why should we invite him? So that he will come and show us his back. Had they whipped him 39 lashes, how many times? Why should, I mean, he should have, I spoke to that man and his hand came off the shoulder. He couldn't whip me anymore. Praise God. I know the grace cannot be whipped. Hallelujah. Then we'll follow. As that boat was rocking, daddy wanted to capsize. I said, if I be a man of God, the boat straightened. The boat straightened. I commanded the prisoners released. All the prisoners were released. Praise God. I told Caesar, I serve a God bigger than you. I can't stand before your judgment. You come and stand before my judgment. Man of God. Why would not bring Paul to be talking the nonsense he's talking? All the angel could do was say, don't worry, you will stand before Caesar. I've given you the life of those who are riding with you, and then you spoil our boat, and you call yourself an angel. That's why we wouldn't like Paul. I was looking at this one man the other day. He said he forgot. He said he went to preach for a friend of his, a pastor. That's the man who said, gave his life to Christ. Is this 74, thereabout? Yeah, around that time, said give his life to Christ. So he's not a small boy. He said, I went to preach for a pastor some years ago in Lagos. He said, when he finished, not today, I forgot to preach this. So I want to explain this thing about something about persecution and the will of God and stuff like that. I can't remember exactly what. He said, that one said to him, thank God you did not. He said, what do you mean, thank God I did not? He said, if you had, I would have had to go up to correct it. And I would have had to tell the church that you suddenly had an emergency and you have left. So the program would have ended that day. And this was his friend from school. He said, what? He said, how does that? He said, how does that? Now, listen. He said, how does that increase the size of the congregation? Would that increase the offerings? He told him like that. That such things, no. So he told his friend, you give me that pulpit. Let me tell you ahead, I will preach it. And he never gave him that pulpit again. He never. The guy never invited him again. To whom shall we go? You have the words of what?
Eternal
Eternal life. Not results. The words of what? Eternal life. Let's bow down and say, Father, we thank you. To just take a moment again and thank God for all the work we've done this year. Just thank God for all the work we've done this year. Damn.
Take a few more seconds and give God praise for His word. His word is life. His word is spirit. Jesus said, you are already clean through the words that I have spoken to you. Thank you, Father, for exposing me to your word. Thank you, Father. Thank you for hope in your word. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name, Lord. Blessed be your name. Father, help us that our priorities, our treasures, our pursuits in life will be the things that truly matter. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you because you have brought us this far. And we know that as we continue with you, you will take us farther than our minds can ever think. In the name of Jesus Christ. We thrust ourselves in your hands. And we thrust ourselves into your wisdom. And our lives will bear fruit. In the name of Jesus Christ. To the glory and praise of your wonderful name. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. It's good to see our beautiful faces again. God has really helped us this year. I remember the close of last year's one as if it was just last week. Still feels very fresh in my mind. And another year has passed, and here we are. I thank God for His word and the encouragement, the life, the hope, the spirit of His word. It's because of His word that some of us have not run mad on the streets. It's because of His word that we have hope for tomorrow. You know, when hope is taken away, people run into despair, people get into darkness and commit suicide. There is no person who commits suicide that has hope. It is lack of hope, the total loss of hope that thrusts people into that kind of, you know. So we'll be taking a few testimonies and we'll round up.